When I was introduced earlier, I was worried that Eric oversold me a little bit, and then this time he oversold my sermon too, so here we go. But friends, it is such a relief to be standing here with you today. It feels like it's been a long time coming. It's been a few months now since my district superintendent called me to tell me that I was being, and now Jennifer, you associate pastor, but the next thing he told me was, and now Jennifer, you can't go there. You can't go see it yet. It's still a secret. No one knows yet, so you can't go. But I couldn't stand it. So I, one afternoon, Guy and I dropped Eldon off at my parents, and then we secretly drove here. But I'm a huge rule follower and kind of a little bit of a chicken, so we just drove around the parking lot. And then the thing that was, like, really bold was that we, like, got out and, like, walked around the outside in, like, stealth mode. And I realized later that if you had actually seen us doing that, I'm sure you would have thought we were extremely creepy. These two people just awkwardly hanging out in the parking lot of your church. But I just felt like I needed to see this place, to see your place, where I was being called, where we were being called to serve next. And I have to tell you that you make an excellent first impression, even just from your parking lot. I was instantly struck pulling up by the beauty of the grounds, the way the sanctuary appears out of the woods, and the cloistered and sacred. Right away, I could tell that this place was holy and sacred ground. And as we sat in the car and looked out at the sanctuary, kind of amazed, I was just struck by then and continue to feel now that it is such an honor that I get to be called one of your pastors. And I know this church has had a long history and that in that time you have had lots of pastors and that moving into the future you will probably have lots of pastors still. And so to be able to walk alongside you and serve alongside you in this moment is an honor that I do not take for granted. So that was my first feeling, the sense of just honor and gratitude of being called to serve. But as often happens after your first feeling passes away, I was then hit by a giant wave of uncertainty. A lot of things were changing in our lives. They were changing quickly. I was going to move somewhere. I was not going to know anyone's names. New house, moving my son, finishing my dissertation, turning 30. Lots of things were about to happen. And sometimes when you're in the midst of change, when you're in between where you are and the place that you're going, this can be hard. It can be unsettling. Even when you know that the place where you're going is good, even great, even when you know that God is calling you there, it can still be hard. You still have to actually get there. And so lately I've been thinking a lot about what God promises us in the midst of change and uncertainty, when you're in the in-between space from the place where you've been and the place God is calling you to go. And I've noticed in the Bible, you frequently find people in this in-between space, the space between the promise and the fulfillment. For instance, God promises Abraham a son with Sarah, but it is another 25 years before Isaac is born. Or when God rescues the people from Egypt and promises them a new land, but then they spend 40 years in the wilderness before they actually get there. Or when David is ordained to be king by Samuel, but it is another few decades before he actually becomes the king. And so we see this pattern in Scripture, the promise, and then the wait, and then usually more waiting, and then the fulfillment. And then what follows the fulfillment is usually a realization that God's faith, and so this exceeded all expectations. And so this pattern and this idea was in my mind when I was coming to our scripture passage today, which finds the people of Israel kind of in a tough spot, but they're about to get a new promise. So We'll read our scripture passage today. If you want to follow along, it's from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So in our scripture passage today, like I said, we find Israel in a pretty tough spot. This comes after they've been carried off into exile by the Babylonians. And by almost everyone's account, this was pretty much their fault, because they had forsaken the God who loved them, who rescued them from Egypt and made a covenant with them. God had set them up in the land and given them laws by which to order their lives, but they had broken these laws repeatedly. They had not loved their neighbors or the stranger or the widow. They had worshiped other gods. They had loved money and the pursuit of power more than they loved God, and God had finally said enough. And so the people lost the land that had been promised to them, and the city of Jerusalem had been burned, and the people were carried away. And now they were in a foreign land, and all seemed lost, because all had been lost. And yet it is in the midst of this darkness that Jeremiah, who normally spoke in gloom and doom and anger, is given a new word from the Lord. Tell them, God says, in kind, that I have loved them with an everlasting love and a never-ending kindness. Tell them, Jeremiah, that though they have forgotten me, I have not forgotten them. I will bring them back. I will gather all who've been scattered back home, and that one day there would be dancing again in Jerusalem, and they would plant fields again in Israel, and they would worship again in Judah. And God tells Jeremiah, tell them I will refresh all those who are weary, all those who are faint. And then God says, I will make a new covenant, and it won't be like the old one. In this new covenant, instead of scribing the laws in stone, I will inscribe them on their hearts. And when that day comes, everyone will know me, from the smallest to the greatest. And I will forgive all their sin, and it won't be remembered anymore. And so this is the new promise given to a people who had continually broken God's heart. And I reaches out and says, I will do it again. I will not abandon you. I will make a new way out of no way. God says, and they ain't seen nothing yet. But the problem, even with the promise, even when they have this promise to hold on to, is that the people are still in exile. They're still in Babylon, and they will be for another 70 years. Most of the people who heard Jeremiah speak that word from the Lord would not make it back to Israel and Judah. And so things were still bad. But a lot can change when you know that despite the darkness, God is still with you. And so Jeremiah tells them in other chapters that they need to set up shop. They need to settle in and make a life there in Babylon. They need to raise their children and teach them about their God and their people. They need to do business with their neighbors. They need to live their lives, but to keep their eyes on the horizon, because the days were coming when they would return back home. The days were coming. In the meantime, Jeremiah says, you just have to work and wait. And in the Christian tradition, when we read this passage and we talk about this new covenant that Jeremiah offers to the peace, then maybe our Jewish counterparts might read and talk about this text and promise. Because for us, as Christians, we can't help but read this story against the back. Of Jesus Christ. Because in him, we have seen this new covenant embodied. He came and dwelt with us so that all could know him. Through his life and death and resurrection, our sins were forgiven. Through Jesus, the temple curtain was torn in two so that everyone, everywhere, could come to know God and be in relationship with God. And through the Holy Spirit, we believe that we have God's laws written on our very hearts as the Spirit prompts us to love our neighbor, to love God, to grow in grace. Through Jesus, God did something bigger and greater than anyone was ever expecting or even hoping for. Jesus appeared on the scene and said, "Now you really ain't seen nothing yet." And Paul writes about it this way, I guess because he didn't have this song, that through Jesus, all things have been made new. Through Jesus. I think even though we know we have this relationship with God through Jesus, I think most of us would recognize that this promise hasn't, all the promises that God made haven't been fully fulfilled yet. Jesus isn't here physically walking among us. Not everyone knows God yet. There is still great suffering in the world. You can turn on the news and read of chaos and the evil and the darkness. You can see it in your own lives and family sometimes. There is great suffering still. So sometimes it is easy to feel as though we too are still in exile and very far from home. Some theologians refer to this tension of having the promise, but not having it fully fulfilled yet, as living into the now and the not yet. God is with us, yes. We have this powerful and life-giving, grace-filled relationship with God, yes. But death and sin are still everywhere. Not every tear has been wiped away. Life is both full and beautiful because God is with us, but also messy and painful sometimes, as we know that we are not yet who we were made to be. It is like we know what, but it's not all, it's like we've seen it, but it's not all the way there yet. And as Christians, we have been called by God to help build this new home, this new kingdom where everyone knows God. It's even in our mission statement as United Methodist, as we say we are called to make disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. But we're still not there yet. So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? And I think that Jeremiah's words to the people of Israel come in handy here, because I think while we wait, we get to join in this ancient tradition of working and watching for the full fulfillment of God's promises. And we work in that we keep showing up in this space. We keep trying to follow those laws that have been written in our hearts. We keep trying to love our neighbors, to embody Christ's love to the whole world. We keep fighting for justice and resisting evil. Basically, we keep doing the work of the church. And it is not always easy work. Not at all. And yet, this and so God has called us. We have been called to run this race, and so we run it. And we know that God is with us, so we proclaim the gospel to all who will listen. We teach our children about God and the church, about where they came from and where they are going. And yes, it is hard. And sometimes it is hard to see God's hand in the midst of everything. It's hard to see that God is still faithful sometimes. especially when you are faced with all the grief and suffering and evil that still exists in the world. It is sometimes easy to be overwhelmed and think that maybe it is best to walk away. And yet this is the work to which God has called us. I was reminded of an old quote from the Talmud that says, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justice now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it." So as Christians, we keep working. We keep trying to bring the kingdom of God more fully to earth. Keep trying to show Christ to everyone we meet. But while we work, I think we also watch. No, like the people of Israel, we keep one eye on the horizon, knowing that the God who can do more than we can think or imagine has not forsaken us, that this God can and will and is doing great things, that God is forever faithful, God forever keeps God's promises. And so we hold on to this hope that the God who kept his promises to Abraham and Moses and David will keep his promises to us too. Even if some days we've felt like we've been waiting for far, far too long. Even when sometimes, like Abraham, we find it hard to believe in what seems impossible. And yet we are still called to wait, because we have hope that one day all that is wrong will be made right, that all we have lost will be restored, that all will be made new. And so I think we hear, like the people of Israel heard from Jeremiah, that even when there seems to be no way, God promises to make a way. That God is always doing this new thing beyond what you can hope or imagine. That you truly haven't seen anything yet. So just you wait and see what God can do, what God is part of even now. And so, friends, as we start this part of our journey together, I want you to know that I am committed to joining you in this working and this watching. I am committed to the work, and that I am committed to walking with you while we strive to live into God's kingdom, as we try to be the hands and feet of Christ, as we strive to resist evil and speak out against injustice, and try in all things to be kind and to love like we have been loved. I promise that I will pray for you and pray with you. I promise that I will offer you whatever skills I have that you might need. For the record, I am offering both my theological and pastoral skills and my baking and crafting skills. I can make a very good chocolate chip cheesecake if you ever need one. Whatever you need, I promise that I am with you in this work. But I also want you to know that if you need someone to help you while you watch, I can do that too. And because I know that some days it is difficult to hold on to the promises that we have been given. I know that some days the darkness seems more powerful than the light, and that some days hope just feels foolish, and God can feel far away and wait. And so on those days, I promise to sit with you and wait with you, while you wait for God's grace and faithfulness. And just know when you cannot, I will hold out faith for you, and that we can watch for the dawn together. So know I am excited for this new season, for this new chapter in our lives, and that I am excited for what God has done and what God is doing still. But most of all, I am excited because I know that God is with us, walking beside us and working through us, promising us that we ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me? God of never-ending grace and mercy, we thank you for the fact that you walk with us always, that you have given us these promises, and that you will never abandon us. We pray that as we work and we watch, that you would give us strength, that you would give us courage, and that you would give us grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.